Good morning, men. A couple weeks ago, or a couple of times ago when I spoke, we talked about how to have more faith. And the big idea on that particular day was that nothing, past or present, even remotely, suggests that God will not keep His word. And then we rolled that over into the following message. And we talked about, you know, what is the cure for that sense of dread that we all get? And does anybody recall what that was? I will each day come humbly to the foot of the cross and there negotiate the terms of a full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. And so, why would we want to do that? Why would we want to negotiate the terms of a full surrender of our life to the Lordship of Jesus? Who cares? Why would that make any difference? I thought we would look a little bit further into that this morning, and hopefully that will seem attractive. And the answer is found in today's passage. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. We'll look at it several times from several angles. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23 and 24. This just is sort of tucked away here, but it seemed to be so important when I was reading through my one-year Bible that I said, gosh, you know, we really ought to park on this. Verse 23 says, and this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. Those who obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. And I was attracted to this, those who obey God's commandments, remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And isn't that really the reason, probably could say it a lot of different ways, but isn't that really the reason that we want to surrender our lives to Christ? Because we're tired. We're tired. We're sick and tired of the pain of resisting Him. It hurts to resist Him. And we want to be in fellowship with God. We want to dwell in Him. This word that is in the New Living Translation, translated fellowship, is the same word in the King James Version. It's dwelleth in Him. He who dwelleth in, he will dwelleth in God and God in him. And it's the same word that's translated abide throughout John chapter 15. If we abide, if you abide in Him, and His Word abides in you, and all of the things that go along with that. And, I mean, really, isn't that what a Christian man is looking for? He's looking for a deep sense of dwelling with God. God indwelling him. Feeling His presence. Feeling His touch. Abiding in Him. Having fellowship with the Holy Living God. And yet we resist. So I thought it would be a good idea this morning to talk about exactly how do I surrender. It's one thing to talk about, I must each day come humbly to the foot of the cross and there negotiate the terms of full surrender to the Lordship of Jesus. It's one thing to talk about the necessity of doing that. It's a whole different thing to talk about how exactly do I do that, and then what happens when I do surrender. And so that's our message this morning, and we'll talk about first, the question, how do we resist? And then we'll talk about how do we surrender? And then we'll talk about what happens when we surrender. First, we'll talk about how do we resist God. I have been taken recently. There's so many different ways to analogize what the kingdom of Christ is like, but I've been taken personally in my own walk recently with the analogy of the kingdom is like a ship. at sea, headed to a distant port. And, you know, you could be a cruise ship, it could be a military ship, it could be a hospital ship, lots of different kinds of ships. But it's a ship, and it's headed to port, and its pilot is Jesus. I've always been struck at how theologically incorrect this concept of God is my co-pilot. God doesn't need any co-pilot, buddy. He doesn't need to be a co-pilot. He doesn't need a co-pilot. You know, it's like, I'm the pilot and God's the co-pilot. God is my co-pilot. Yeah, right. I mean, Jesus is up on the bridge and he's driving this ship. And he has a destination. He knows where he's going. He's omnicompetent and he will bring his ship into port. And everybody on the ship will make port. Everybody on the ship is going to make port. And it's a rescue ship because all along the way, there are people in the water drowning. And Jesus makes haste to divert the course of the ship to every drowning victim. He wants to save them all. And so we're on the ship, and some of us are cooks, and some of us are mechanics, and some of us are cabin stewards, and some of us are guests. Some of us are in the infirmary because we've just come out of the water ourselves, and we're not really ready yet to do anything, make a contribution. And he gives us free passage. But after you've been on the ship for a while, you get sick and tired of free passage, and you want to work for your passage. And so he says, well, if you want me to put you to work, I will. I'll give you something meaningful to do. Why don't you go help pull people out of the water? Or why don't you work in the infirmary? Or why don't you cook? Why don't you make food for the people who are doing these other things? And so just have this strong picture of the kingdom is like this ship. The kingdom here on earth is like this ship. And so, why do I resist that? Why do you resist that? Why does anyone resist that? I was talking to a man on the phone yesterday who cold called me. I'm in the process of selling a vintage car. So I have it listed. And he works for a listing service. So he was trying to get me to list the car with him. I've talked to this company more than once, and so I was trying to go ahead and close the conversation quickly. I never hang up on anybody because I'm a Christian, and it doesn't mean I don't want to. But he was really pressing on me, and finally I said, look, I'm not going to use your service. I think it's a wonderful service. And he said, but why? He said, you know, what's $500 between friends? And I said, you don't understand. It's my car. I'm doing my thing. And I was sitting there having to justify myself why I wouldn't list my car with him instead of just hanging up. And so finally he got it through his thick head that I was not going to list my car with him. And he said, well, say a little prayer for me. And I said, whoa. What did you just say? He's getting ready to hang up. He said, say a little prayer for me. I said, whoa. What did you just say? I said, say a little prayer for me. I said, why did you say that? He said, well, I don't know. I said, did you recognize my name or something? Did you know that I write books for Christian Books for Men or something? He said, no, I didn't know that. I said, so we got into this conversation. 28 minutes and 40 seconds. I timed it because I thought it would be interesting for you all to know how long we were on the phone. And he told me his life. In fact, he not only, I mean, this was really a God thing because at a some kind of a fire flea market, fire sale, he had just bought a copy of The Man in the Mirror. He hadn't read it yet, but he just recently bought a copy of The Man in the Mirror. And he's desperately searching for God. He is a Christian. But when he was a young boy, he was terribly abused by his mother. His mother would scream and holler and yell at him, and then she would beat him within an inch of his life, and then she'd make him stand up and look her in the eye while she reviled him some more. And he said, you know, I'm mentally ill. He said, you know, my brain cracked. My mind was shattered into a million little pieces. And so I did make a commitment. I did profess Christ at a young age, but said, it just doesn't work for me because I'm under such condemnation for all of the wicked. I've done so many evil things. I'm just so filled with shame that I don't deserve. I'm not good enough, is what he said. I'm not good enough to be on the ship. I'm not good enough to be rescued. But he knows he's been rescued, but now he feels like he's not really good enough to be on the ship. So he's resisting God because he doesn't feel like he's good enough. And so there are people who are resisting the grace of God because they don't think that they're worthy. Of course, he's never going to be good enough. That's the whole object of grace. None of us are really ever good enough. So that's kind of like one end of the continuum. All the way at the other end of the continuum, another reason we resist is that after we've been on the ship for a while, we think the ship's going too slow. Or we think the ship should stop at some alternative destinations along the way. We don't like the results. We resist the role that we've been given on the ship. I mean, this is a huge thing. When people are on the ship and they've been challenged to be a cabin steward and they really want to be up on the bridge with the captain, and they're just not satisfied with the role that they have. And so people resist, and I found myself this week resisting God because I'm doing this leadership seminar and I've got 40 seats and it was just like going gangbusters, you know, the early, and then I'm in that period now where the registrations are in a lull, and so I'm trying to control the outcome. So I'm thinking marketing. Early in the week, I just said, you know, that's it. I quit. I give up. I'm not going to go there because God, He already knows exactly what He wants to do, and if it's not a sellout, what do I care? Why should I care? I mean, I was caring at the time, but why should I care? You see? And so, you know, who knows where to go. But I was saying, you know, Lord, the thing is that by resisting you, what's happened is that I'm losing my sense of the immediacy of your presence in my life. And I hate that. And so I found myself, well, get a little bit ahead. So how do we surrender? Let's look at our text again. Verse 23. And this is His commandment. We must believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So that's one thing that we do in surrender. And then secondly, and we must love one another as He commanded us. And then verse 24 says, those who obey God's commandments remain in his fellowship, and vice versa. So obedience is fellowship. Obedience to God is how we get our fellowship. It's not resisting. You know right now if you're resisting God or not, don't you? You know right now if you're thinking, you know, I'm not good enough. Or you know right this second, you know, you absolutely know if you are resisting God because you want something, you want a result that's not coming fast enough for you, and you're trying to manipulate your circumstances. You know if you're resisting God or not. And the result of this is that fellowship with God is broken. Fellowship with God is broken. And the way we get back to that is through surrender. And the way we get to surrender, the way we do surrender, how we surrender, is obedience. It's obedience to the commands of our great God, who says simply, believe in Jesus and love one another. Love God, love other people. In fact, Augustine was so bold that he even went to the extreme. He said, love God and do what you want. Because if we come to this place where we really do love God with the totality of our being, every ounce of our energy, the sum of our strength, then we will obey and we will have fellowship with God. And so I was sitting around thinking about all of this, and I made a prayer. I said, God, I want my fellowship back. I want that sense of the presence of God, the immediacy of your presence. I want the sense that I'm abiding in you and you in me. And Lord, I've strayed away. I am resisting you by trying to manipulate the outcomes or being too concerned about the outcomes. And so I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, it's the big idea today. Whatever it takes for me to be in right relationship with you, do it. This is how we surrender. We come to God. This is a message for Christians this morning. If you're not a believer yet, then this is kind of like one step ahead of you. But you could even pray this for yourself as a way of expressing your desire to start that relationship with Christ. But for the Christian, Lord, whatever it's going to take for me to be in right relationship with you, go and do it. I mentioned this at the prayer breakfast yesterday. I was sitting with Vonette Bright and Dan Webster. And I mentioned that I was going to be sharing this little thought with you this morning, a prayer that I had prayed. And Dan Webster said, that's a very brave prayer. And I didn't say this to him at the time because it wasn't the time or the place. But actually, this is not a brave prayer. This is a prayer that's insane not to pray. Because God is going to come for us. He's coming. Once we belong to Him, He will not let sin stand. He will not let disobedience prevail. He is going to bring us on His ship into the port. We will get there, and we will get there on His terms. And so we can come willingly or unwillingly, but if we don't, His grace can be very brutal. And so this is not a brave prayer. And this is Bonnet Bright said, she made the interesting comment. She said, you have to be careful that people don't think that they're going looking for punishment. This is not a prayer that you pray going looking for punishment. You're looking for grace. God is good. He wants to take care of us. He does want to bless us. And so if there's a pruning that takes place, no surgeon, no ethical surgeon, ever went in and inflicted more pain than was necessary. But no competent surgeon would go in and inflict any less pain than was required to cure the disease. And so whatever disease we have, Lord, do it. Cut it out. Make it right. Give me your grace. I'm not praying for patience anymore. I'm just praying to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you see. So we're not really asking for punishments. We're asking for grace. Lord, whatever it takes for me to be in right relationship, you do it. Just do it. Make it happen. I can't stand walking outside of your presence, out of fellowship with you, not dwelling in you. Is that a word? Without dwelling in you. And then what happens when we do surrender? Look again at the text, verse 24. Those who do obey God's commandments remain in fellowship with Him and He with them. And so we see this fellowship with God. That's what happens when we surrender, is that we abide in Christ. We dwell in Him. We have communion with our Savior, our God. Today at 10:30, 11 o'clock, in the middle of a business meeting, it's not going the way that you'd hoped it would be going. If you've said, Lord, whatever it takes for me to be in right relationship with you, do it. You can be in fellowship with God instantly. And even in the middle of the deal that seems to be falling apart, you can have peace with God if you live in surrender, if you live in obedience to His commands. That's what the Bible's saying. And then the next sentence says, and we know He lives in us because the Spirit He gave us lives in us. Wow. So what happens when we surrender? We have fellowship with God. He lives in us when we live in Him. And He gives us a Spirit which testifies to us. We know that He's in us because we have the Spirit. We sense, we feel the Spirit working. Prayed the prayer and, Lord, whatever it takes for me to be in right relationship with You, do it. And, you know, if you've been out of right relationship with God for a few minutes and you were to pray this prayer, then it would not take long to get back into right relationship. Of course, if you've been out of right relationship with God for a week, then you would, if you had a battery that you were charging and you had just used it one time, you would expect it would recharge pretty quickly. But if you had been depleting the battery for a week, then you wouldn't expect it to recharge quite as quickly. You would expect that it might take a little longer to get back up to a full charge. And if it had been like my boat battery that you forgot to take it out when you winterized it last year, and so it's had a whole year to completely be run down, I don't expect my boat battery to get recharged quickly. It's going to take a long time. And so however long we may have been resisting, or maybe you're resisting God now. I'm sure some of us are, and maybe it's just been a few minutes, but maybe it's been a long time. And it's not always just because we're trying to get our own way. Sometimes it's because we don't think we're good enough. That's a form of resisting God too. So if you pray, "Lord, whatever it takes for me to be in right relationship with you, do it." You are not calling down for legions of pains and sufferings. You're asking for grace, which may involve some pruning. But better to do it, better to prune it now, whatever size it is, than later. And also the Bible tells us that when we do obey, obedience is the way to fellowship. When we do obey, we begin to produce fruit. Looking at John 15 a little bit here, we won't go into it, but he does prune every branch that doesn't bear fruit. And every branch that does bear fruit, he also prunes to make it even more fruitful. So it's a blessing to be pruned. Hey, you're going to get cut one way or the other. Right, so you might as well get cut for the right reason, okay? And then it says he answers our prayers. It says that he answers our prayers in John 15. But look at verse 22. Well, verses 21 and 22 here in 1 John 3. "Dear friends, if we don't feel guilty, we can come to God with bold confidence, and we will receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey him and do the things that please him." Whatever we ask. We need to do a talk sometime here on whatever we ask means. But you can begin to see how when we are in obedience to our Lord and we're in fellowship with him, that the desires of our heart just are going to somehow, whatever it takes for me to be in right relationship with you, the desires of our heart are going to begin lining up with God's will, that as a passenger on the ship, that we're going to want the things that the pilot wants. We're going to want to be in tune with what the pilot of the ship is doing, where he's going, how fast he's driving, and the role he's given us. We're going to find peace with that. We're going to find that because we're in right relationship with him, and we're going to have fellowship with him, and he's going to be more than pleased to give us whatever we want. You have had a child who was a compliant child, and you couldn't wait to give them what they wanted, yes? And you have had a non-compliant child, a resisting child, who has made your life miserable, and you have not been able to give them what they wanted, even though you would like to give them what they want because you knew that it wasn't the best thing for them, you chose to not do that. Yes? And that's exactly what we're talking about here. He will give us whatever we want when we're in right relationship with him, because what we will want will be what he wants. Lord, whatever it takes for me to be in right relationship with you, do it. Would you repeat that with me out loud? Lord, whatever it takes for me to be in right relationship with you, do it. Now, we've said this out loud. Some of you may be prepared today to pray this prayer. And so what I'd like to do now is close. Let's bow our heads. I'm not going to ask you to identify yourself or say this out loud. But if you are serious about being out and out for Jesus Christ and realizing that this is a plea for grace, it may involve some pruning, but it is the way we go about getting whatever we ask and becoming a compliant passenger, lining up with what the pilot is doing, and you want to produce more fruit in your life, then let me invite you to pray it just to yourself. And if you're not ready, that's okay. You might want to pray a different prayer. You might say, "Lord," you might want to say, "Lord, please bring me to a place where I want this to be my prayer. That might be your prayer if you're not ready. But if you are ready, pray with me now silently, and I'll pray it for us. Lord Jesus, first of all, we thank you for your holy word. It's just so clear. The pathway to fellowship with you is through obedience. And so bring us, Lord, each of us in our own hearts to desire this with everything that is within us. And Lord, some of us are prepared right now. We want to make this prayer. And so say this silently to yourself after me, if this is the desire of your heart. Lord, whatever it takes for me to be in right relationship with you, do it. Amen.